Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, happy new year. Lest you think I'm confused, it's the beginning of Advent, which is the beginning of the church year. And that begins today. And Advent is a season of preparation. It is really meant for us to slow down and to prepare our hearts to celebrate the miracle that is the birth of Jesus. The idea is to slow down and think about what happens. The whole idea about God coming to earth as one of us, and that miracle, that statement of love that is. So Leanne and I, months ago, were literally sitting in her office. I had my feet up on the desk. And we were talking about the Christmas rush and just how the Christmas season just sort of comes upon us and keeps us so busy. And we were talking about some ways to maybe encourage us to all slow down a little bit this Advent season to appreciate the miracle of Jesus. And so we were sitting around and we were talking, knocking some ideas around, and Dr. Boama comes in our office and he goes, "What are you doing?" "We're talking about Advent." "Oh, well, I was thinking C.S. Lewis." We were like, "Oh, okay." And so we, Leanne, did some research about C.S. Lewis and found out that he had actually a number of writings about Christmas that were actually quite helpful. And so this Advent season, we're going to be using C.S. Lewis and some of his writings about Christmas to sort of help illumine what Advent might look like for us. And so to help us along the way, each Sunday, except for Cantata Sunday, we have two budding theologians and thespians who are going to help us with that. So let's take a look at that video, please.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Oh, okay. I officially vote we skip Christmas this year.
I second that. These things are possessed.
I mean, seriously, I'm looking at my calendar right now, and it says we got finals, choir concerts, and youth group parties, and somehow we're supposed to feel all merry and bright?
Yeah, because nothing says peace on earth like a December to-do list.
I saw this meme that said whoever invented Christmas shopping owes us all therapy.
Accurate. I mean, look at these things. It's like Christmas literally tied itself up in knots.
You know it's the first Sunday of Advent, right?
What is that, like church New Year's?
Kind of. It's the Sunday of hope. Supposed to be all about preparing for Jesus coming. Waiting with expectation.
Yeah, this looks like glitter, chaos, and despair.
I was reading this thing by this old British writer. You know, C.S. Lewis?
The Narnia guy?
Yeah, he wrote about Christmas once. Said it had turned into a ghastly racket. Like, all noise and shopping and pressure.
He said that when people still used horses. If he thought that was bad, imagine Walmart in 2025.
Right? But the point was, underneath all that racket, there's still this miracle. Like, the real Christmas. God showing up all quiet, unnoticed, and in the middle of the mess.
You mean like hope showing up when no one's looking?
Hope doesn't just crash in with noise. It just shows up, steady and small.
Yeah, kind of like these lights. I mean, there's nothing, but when you plug them in, light.
Let's hang up one ornament. Just one, for the first Sunday.
Perfect. Hope, week one.
There.
So, week one. Less racket, more miracle.
Amen to that.
couple of our youth. Thank you, Emma and Annalise, for helping us with this. C.S. Lewis said, "Christmas has become a ghastly racket." I like that. I think it is true that the commercialism of Christmas makes so much racket that we sometimes miss the hope that comes to us at Christmas. C.S. Lewis wrote, "The beauty of Christmas is not in the commercial imitation, but in the quiet miracle Christians are celebrating." And you think about Christmas, and Christians all over the world celebrating the birth of Jesus, celebrating this quiet miracle that happened in a stable some 2,000 years ago. And that miracle doesn't begin in Bethlehem. That miracle, it actually begins in Nazareth, in a small hidden room where a young woman hears a message that will change the world. Our text today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Hear these words. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' The angel said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.' Then Mary said, 'Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word.' Then the angel departed from her." This is the word of God for the people of God. The coming of hope to the world is first made known to a nobody in a nowhere place in a nowhere town. Of all the people in the world, the story of the world's salvation begins with a 14-ish year old girl in the middle of a little backwater called Nazareth. God, no doubt, does this on purpose. The world assumes, the world tells us that the rich and the powerful would know of this first. The world looks for hope in noise and power and in spectacle. God begins hope quietly in a small place with a young girl, with unnoticed people. The hope that changes the world starts with Mary. The angel Gabriel appears to her, and he greets her, "Greetings, favored one." The text tells us that she is perplexed by this greeting. I mean, is it any wonder that a 14-year-old girl in the middle of a backwater called Nazareth would be greeted by an angel that says, "Greetings, favored one"? There is nothing favored by society about this girl. I mean, you look at the status of women back then, it was just a little bit more than property. She's a 14-year-old girl. She is perplexed with the idea that an angel will call her a favored one. And then the angel immediately says to her, "Mary, do not fear." You see, the very first act of this gift of hope is to calm a frightened heart. Before the miracle is even explained, before the angel Gabriel even tells Mary what is going to happen, God is relieving the fear of this young girl. Gabriel is not saying to her, just do not fear me. Gabriel is saying, do not fear what is about to come, because God is with you. Hope is here. When we find the hope that is in Christ, we find that our fears are lifted. Fears of getting it all done. Fear of not having enough money to get all the things that we need to do. The fear of another year ending without the changes that we desperately wanted to make to our life. You see, when hope arrives, it lifts fear. It doesn't add pressure. It doesn't add something else to our list of things to do. The hope of Christ lifts the fears that manifest themselves in our heart. What we can see in Christ is that hope has arrived. And that is what is happening here for Mary. Then Gabriel goes on to make these impossible promises to Mary. You will conceive. He will be great. His kingdom will not end. He will reign. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Did you catch that? All of those are passive. All of those things that Gabriel promises are not something that Mary has to go out and do. It is not something that Mary has to go out and to achieve. It is something that we are receiving as a gift. You see, hope is a gift. Hope comes quietly because it is a gift from God. It is not something that is achieved. It is not something that we can earn. It is not something that we can be good enough to deserve. Hope, it is a gift from God. And then Mary asks the question, how can this be? Now, there's been much written about her questioning of the angel and the questioning of Zechariah as John the Baptist, as he would be known, was revealed to him. Remember, he was in the Holy of Holies, and he said, your wife, Elizabeth, who has been barren, will bear a son. And Zechariah says, How do I know what you're saying is true? And Mary asks a very similar question, and Zechariah is struck dumb and cannot speak until John is named. Many scholars think that it's the attitude in which the question was asked, that Zechariah asked with skepticism, and Mary asked out of innocence and true wonder. So Mary asks the question, how can this be so? And Gabriel responds that the Spirit of the Most High will overshadow you. Now, I learned something new. I preach on this text almost every Advent season, maybe not every Advent season, but I've preached on this text a lot. And to learn something new is always fun and exciting. So there was a book, and it's often in scholarly work. It's called LXX, all in caps, and it is the Septuagint. The Septuagint was the Old Testament translated into Greek, because many of the Jews at the time really didn't read Hebrew, but they read and speak Greek. And so you have this translation of the Old Testament that the Jewish, first century Jewish person would have access to that was called the Septuagint. And the word that is translated here as overshadowed is the same word that is used to describe God's Shekinah, his cloud that hovered around the tabernacle when he was in residence. It's also the same word to describe the cloud that came over Jesus at the transfiguration. And so it's clear by this that what is happening to Mary is that she is being made holy as the power of the Holy Spirit overshadows her. Something new is happening with Mary. So all these promises have been made. Mary asks this question. And he says, this is how it's going to happen. And this 14-year-old girl simply says, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me as you have said. Now, I've stood up here for 5 years, and you have heard me say over and over again how much I admire the faith of a 14-year-old girl. I mean, the angel Gabriel shows up and says, Mary, the Lord is going to mess up your life like you would not believe, but do not fear, because it's going to be amazing. And I think about what Mary had to endure in that little town of Nazareth. So she was betrothed to Joseph, not yet married. And she had to go up to Joseph and say, Joe, I'm going to have a baby. But don't worry, it was the Holy Spirit. And then she had to endure all of the whispers as she walks by the well. There goes that Mary. She's having a baby, but she says it wasn't Joseph. She has to endure all of this. And she knows this when she is being told she is going to carry the Christ child. There's no hem, there's no haw, there's no, well, okay. It is a definitive, quiet, here I am. Let it be with me just as you have said. With this simple, quiet yes from a 14-year-old girl whose world has been turned upside down, hope began to enter the world. The hope of the world was to be revealed in a stable in Bethlehem. Because this 14-year-old girl said, "Here I am. Let it be with me as you have said." Compare the miracle of that first Christmas, the quietness of a stable, the braying of animals. You compare that to the ghastly racket that has become our Christmas season. And I am saying to you this day, you have a choice. You have a choice to participate and run with the ghastly racket, or you have a choice to create some time. Now look, I am not asking you to drop out of Christmas. No Christmas vacation story for us. Or no, what was it? The Cranks. Christmas with the Cranks, who dropped out of Christmas. Not asking you to do that. What I am asking you to do is to be intentional about what you do. To be intentional about why you do it. C.S. Lewis once wrote that the problem of Christmas is not keeping the Christ in Christmas. It is in our keeping the world loud enough that we cannot hear him. And so this Advent season, I'm asking you to create some quiet space in your life where you might contemplate the miracle of hope coming into the world, to where you might think about what it is that Christ is calling you to do. I'm asking you to turn down the loudness of the Christmas season so that you might hear the one that died for you, that you might hear what he has to say to you. Let us pray. Almighty God, help us, Father, to turn down the chaos of this season, that we might hear you, that we might hear your calling, that we might hear your grace, and your hope, and your peace, and your love, and your joy that comes to us through the birth of Jesus. We ask, Father, that you would help us to slow down, that we may hear you. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.